Lord. I told Cindy this morning, I'm scared. I always get very nervous before I minister. I just want to do exactly what the Lord wants done. And I am feeling a great release today to minister and to impart. This is a great church. Pastor's already preached half my sermon just through his introductions. I just can't. And when he's talking, I can't help but think of all the things I would love to say. He just brings it out in me. It's great. If the word's in you, he starts preaching, it'll come out. It's just good stuff. Here we go. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for a great release of the Holy Ghost today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have permission, oh God. Father, you have the preeminence, Father, to do what you want to do, oh God. We give you permission to change our lives today in Jesus' name. Move in. Stir up. Flip over. Cause us to change because of your word. It's like seed planted. It's going to do what it does, even though we don't know how. Glory to God. Well, as he was talking, the Lord gave me a couple of scriptures. I got to give them out. Ephesians 3. I am a blue-collar preacher all the way. Some of my best sermons have been in the cab of my truck. I shoot from the hip. I preach all day long on the job. If a situation happens or somebody asks a question, that's my launching pad. I'll go from there, and I'll take you from Genesis to Revelation. And bring about the fact that Christ is the Lord. He is Amen. God Almighty. Amen. He died that we might have life. He is the answer. Yes. He truly is the answer. Amen. We try to help the best we can, but don't look to man. Don't look to your pastor. Look to Christ. Amen. That's right. Ephesians 3:20-21. And I'm in Philippians. Praise God. That's good. That's good too. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, I'm excited that Pastor would give me one of the last sermons of the year. And yet I'm believing for 2010, and this is what I'm believing. Exceedingly, above, beyond all that you can imagine or think. See, I have certain scriptures that I read, and it's like it just gets me excited. Yeah. God, I can imagine some great stuff. Yeah. Come on, brother. Exceedingly beyond. Yes. I mean, I can imagine that this place is full. Yes. I can imagine that we have to buy more property. Uh-huh. And that this becomes a sister church of ours because we don't want to give it up. I'm not talking about let's sell this building so we can buy another one. Let's keep this building, buy another one, fill that one, and fill this one too. Let's have a training center where we can take a couple, make them pastors, send one-third of our congregation with them over to some place to start a work, to continue a work. Exceedingly above, beyond all we could ask or think. Let's send Beverly and Roger, without a cost to them whatsoever, as many times as they need to go into India, China, and wherever they want to go to establish pastors to do the work of the ministry. Exceedingly above. Let's not slide through. Let's go beyond. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, small ink is what it is. God's teaching me about, and well, praise God. Praise God. See, well, yes, and I love it because, see, when you're a blue-collar preacher and you shoot from the hip, it's every question that's asked, and it stirs up questions. And then, like, when I go to the prisons, and the kids always raise their hand, they want to ask a question. Why? Because I stirred something up in them. Yeah. And really, you know, I can preach about tithing, and you've got marriage problems. I can preach about children, and, you know, and you've got a job problem. Okay? And so it's like, and that's consumed you, and although I'm talking about marriage, it's not doing you any good. So on the job, when they start asking me questions, or in the prison, they start asking me questions, I know right where they're at. I know right where to minister. Exceedingly above, beyond all we can ask or think. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. Praise God. I want to mention that all those who weren't here last Monday, I'm going to shoot from the hip. I mean, I've got a sermon. I've got all kinds of things to say. When I coached girls softball, we used to teach the girls, if the base was here, you know how some kids stand on the base like this and they're watching and they're going to take off. We don't teach our kids to push off this way. We teach our kids to put the foot on the base this way and a foot back here because they're allowed to leave once the ball leaves the pitcher's hand in girls softball. So as soon as the girl starts to release the ball, when her hand comes around here, the girl is already in motion. She's not left the bag because if she leaves the bag before the ball leaves the hand, she's out. So we teach them to take one step backwards. But when the ball's coming around this way, just before it's released, she's already in motion, and then she kicks off. That's seconds ahead of the catcher who can throw her out at second base. The ones who don't do it are usually put out. The ones who do it know how to get that extra seconds to be safe. Today when we were in worship, the pastor said, everybody come forward, raise your hand if you need something. Raise your hand if this is you. And I'm one that watches, okay? I watched. There's some people who didn't raise their hand. They may have been thinking they want. They may have been desiring to want, but they were asked to do something. They were asked to show by a raise of a hand that that's what they want. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to get it if you didn't raise your hand. Me, I'm raising my hand. I think it's some of the things that the church misses, that there is a participation on your part. It may be just a small act of raising your hand, but it puts you into a humble position that's me. Yeah. Well, I raise two hands because I want a double portion. Exceedingly above, beyond all I can ask or think. So I raise two hands. But I notice, and I think that sometimes we're asked to do things and we hold back for fear of man. Actually, it's selfishness. It's just, you are your own God, and you're going to do it your way. Because when I come to church, I put myself in a position that I'm going to hear from the man of God that God called to preach, to minister, pretty much what he was saying earlier about me, but I do it for him. I mean, I'm going to hear God speak to me through this man. He has been set aside, called and appointed and anointed to bring us the very oracles of God, and there's little things that are said that put you in a position that you're seconds ahead of everybody else, and you're safe. Okay? You don't have to pay for that one. That one was free. And I'm talking to you young people. Run with it. You're young people to me. You know that. Even though you might be married. I'm talking to teenagers, but I'm also talking to young people. But teenagers, run with it. I was preaching in the prison the other night, and the kid had a whole new group of kids. Is Annie Diamond here? No. She comes with me, you know. She ministered a couple of weeks back. Boy, I let her loose. She gave her testimony. Let me tell you, the first thing she says, I'm mad. And all these kids are looking at her like. She said, oh, I'm mad. She said, I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad. And the reason I'm here is because I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. Because he took my son. And I don't want him to take you. Boy, I tell you what, them boys' hearts melted. When she got done, she was ministering and praying with two or three of these kids. They were, you know, but she put herself in a position to do something. And I'm telling you, I asked these kids, and I got a whole new group of kids this last Wednesday. All the other kids were gone, and none of them have heard me. It was all new kids. It was amazing because they can get bonded out. They can move to another facility, or they can go wherever. But it was all new kids, and I had this one kid in front of me, blonde hair, and it was like he was glued. He was glued to, and he wanted to know as much as he could possibly know about it. And he put himself in a position to ask questions, regardless of what I was preaching. Well, wait a minute, what about this? Yeah, yeah. I love that. Okay, let's go on. Glory to God. I do have a title. I have two titles. The works that I do shall you do also. That's a good title. Now, what I like you to do is I want you to start to, and if you do, you might do it already, but I do this. I couple scriptures with scriptures. The works that I do shall you do also, exceedingly above all you could ask or think. Because see, it's all true. It's all for you. And my heart is to really see everybody. I was talking to Pastor earlier. I said, he says, we have different personalities. It was early in the week because I think we all should be doing a lot of the same stuff. Different personalities, though. And, you know, we're not a cookie. It's not a cookie cutter. And he really releases me. I mean, because I hear him preach and he's got these notes and he's a teacher and everything is point after point after point. I just like to shoot from the hip. You know, I just like to tell a story. And he just said, but, you know, that's why you're in the body. I'm so accepted here. I just love it so much. Okay. The works that I do shall you do also. And the other title is, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? Now, when we say, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? Now, I'm just trying to get to my introduction here. I'm just trying to get you into a position to where you're going to receive properly. Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? The first thing we do is we think, well, I'm not sick. I'm talking about being sick. Although we are. If we're not doing the things that he did, and greater, there's some kind of sickness that's stopping us from being made whole. Because to be made whole isn't just to be, oh, okay, now I don't have a cough anymore. Praise God. No, it means let's raise the dead. Come on. If you ain't raising the dead, you ain't made whole yet. See, the whole process is that he redeemed us. See, this word redeemed is a great word. It means you were bought back. That means Adam and Eve sold it all off to the devil. They sold everything off to the devil. They sold all their position, their authority, their power, their anointing to build and multiply. They sold everything. And from the very beginning, dysfunctional people have been raising dysfunctional people who've been raising dysfunctional people. And now it's to this generation and we're really dysfunctional. And when we get saved, yes, we're made whole. We become a brand new creature. And Christ is in us and we have the mind of Christ. But there's a part where we have to renew our minds. That we have to wash ourselves in the Word. Why? To get us to take Egypt out of us. The reason it took them 40 years in the desert was to get Egypt out of them. They had come out of Egypt in one day. That's your salvation. Now it took 40 years to get, you know, but I believe that process can be sped up. A lot of it is on your part. This is why, you know, we talk about Monday night prayer. I was talking about Monday night prayer for those who came Monday night prayer. I don't think I ever finished that. That's the other thing I do. I'll start something, forget about it. You'll wonder where it went, and I'll bring you back 30 minutes later and put you right back into that same spot. Some guys on the job really say, Dwayne, I don't know how you do that, but 4 hours later when we're still on the job, you'll go, so, and we're all right back in the same place. We know exactly what you're going to talk about. Monday night, a revelation was given to the pastor about the blessings chasing you down. And, you know, even though you might have heard it before, it was like new and fresh. And it's like I came home thinking, man, the blessings are going to run me down. Because he came up with the word that God said that even though in that day when you say, what shall we eat? Where shall we live? What shall we do? I will command the blessing. Can you imagine if all of us were here Monday night? That's not condemnation, but that's to say, that's one of those things. Raise your hand. Stand on the base this way. Why? Because it's going to be seconds. You're going to be ahead of the devil. You know, he was preaching this morning. God does nothing without revealing it to his prophets first. Did you know that? That's why he says you can know. Those are going to seek the Lord. Those are going to get in prayer. Those are going to get alone with him. God's going to begin to reveal things. And what happens to me is I put a sermon together and he preached half of it. First thing that let me know was, man, I'm on the right track. He let me know ahead of time. I thought I was going to preach it. He got to say it, but I knew right away, wait a minute, God, you're doing that. That's confirmation that you are alive and well today. And that I'm hearing you. That's a good feeling to know that you're hearing the Lord. A lot of people walk around in their Christianity, I wonder if I hear the Lord or not. I have haven't even touched my sermon. Praise God. It is good. It is all good. So I don't have necessarily point one, point two, point this, whatever, but I do have some scriptures, and I believe I'm going to speak to a lot of you, and I believe a lot of deliverance takes place as a result of just preaching the word. Absolutely. Because deliverance is really a truth replacing a lie.
Yeah. Come on.
Really, it is. Yeah. Wilt thou be made whole? Let's go to Acts 10:38. A lot of scriptures. Here's one of those raise your hand things. Do you have a piece of paper and a pen that you're taking notes?
Yeah.
By the way, do you have your Bibles?
Absolutely.
See, that's one of those things. He says, you know, hold up your Bible, make the devil mad.
That's right.
Man, you should have one. Whew. Oh, I'll remember everything you tell me, brother. I like to, like, I'll run into you. I'll call you up in the middle of the week and say, hey, wasn't that good what the pastor taught? well, refresh me, brother. I don't remember. Where did I tell you to go? Acts 10:38?
Yes.
Okay, let me get there. I'm in Philippians again. That's good, too. You must like Philippians, brother. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. The works that I do, shall you do also. Let's go to Luke. Luke 9. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Everybody there? Amen?
Amen.
And as he passed by, he saw... I'm in John. Man, oh man. These glasses. I'm going to need you up here, brother, with me, so that as soon as I turn the page, you can say, yep, that's good too. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. The works that I do shall you do also. This is very powerful. I got a brother I play basketball with, and for the last month, I know last week, and I forget the time before that, but I'd say it was within a month. It was either in the last 2 weeks or it was last week and 2 weeks back. He's hurt himself. He got up and he was running his dog and he turned his knee and he said it swelled right up and that he would not be there Sunday to play basketball. So I encouraged him, but then I prayed for him over the phone. And he called me the next day and he said, Dwayne, you would not believe. My knee, which was the size of a softball, has completely gone down. I'm running around with the dog again. I'm not going to play Sunday, only probably because I'm afraid I'll do something. But I realized that when you prayed, God did something. Last week, he twisted his ankle Sunday, hobbled. And by the time he was leaving the court, he was hobbling. He called me. I called him Monday because he's in need of a job. I called him Monday, encouraging him about a job. And he told me it was still swollen. He couldn't get up. He was crawling around on his knees because he couldn't walk around the house. And it was a shame because he was out driving his wife around for Christmas shopping. So I prayed for him again. He called me the next day. He says, Dwayne, you are not going to believe this. I'm up and running around. And last time I didn't come to play basketball because I was afraid, but I'm going to show up this Sunday. So God healed him again. When I was in Africa, I went to Africa for a missions trip with Todd Bentley. And I was part of the ministering team that when he gets done ministering and things are done and people are called up on the stage, then he sends us team out. Now, there was 15, 20,000, 25,000 people in a field. And he releases us out into that field. And so the minute you come down off the platform, you are completely pressed with people. And when Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look how many people around you, they're all touching you. What do you mean who touched you? That's exactly what it's like. And they're grabbing your hands and they're making you touch them because they want an anointing. They want a healing. They'll grab your hand. If you stick it out, they'll grab your hand and they'll pull it down. They'll touch their private parts. They don't care. They want a touch from God. They've walked for days. They've walked for hours to get there. They've sold everything they could to get there. They're there. They want a touch and a healing from God. And I have a ministry to young men and men and young men where I reach, teach, and keep boys for Jesus Christ. So this anointing follows you. I was up on the platform, and the minute I come down off the platform, this young man wanted me to pray for him. So I prayed for him, and next thing I know, they tell you, don't stop. If you don't see a miracle, don't stop, because you've got 20,000 people that want you to touch them. We really don't have the time to, you know, go into, marriage counseling or, you know, all this stuff. We just got to pray for them and keep going to touch people. So off we go. We're doing this. And so I'm going. And next thing I know, this young man is following me. And I stop and I said, and he goes, and they can, you know, they speak English. I mean, it was in Uganda. They speak pretty good English. And I could communicate with a lot of them. And some of them get excited and they speak their native language. But most of them, all the signs are in English. I mean, they speak English. So I says, you know, what is it that you want? He says, and he explained to me, he wants to go with me. I said, you want to go with me? He goes, yeah. I said, do you want to pray for the people too? And he goes, yes. He says, I want the anointing that you have to pray for people. So I prayed for him again. Next thing I know, I'm taking him around and I'm praying for people. And I'm telling him, you know, stick your hands on this one, pray for this one, pray for that one. Be careful, don't touch, you know, parts, certain parts. You know, you got to resist this and resist that. And now I got my own little team. Todd Bentley's got me, but I got him. You know, he's my team, right? So we're praying for people. And we prayed for this other young man who come up to me who couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And I prayed for him. I prayed for him to be healed. And off I went. And this young man's following me around. Next thing I know, and 10, 20 minutes later, they in the ministry, when you're there, when they say it's time to go, you have to stop what you're doing. You have to work your way through the crowd, and you have to get to the bus. Because if you miss the bus, you miss the bus. And you don't want to miss the bus. Okay, so and we're trying to get as many in as we can. So all of a sudden, I'm getting this tap again. I turn around and there's this young man again. And I said, I'm looking at him, trying to figure out what he wants. And he's talking to me. And there's noise everywhere. I mean, just everybody's talking and praying and shouting and hollering. And demons are being cast out. I mean, everything is going on. And I realized, I went, aren't you the young man I just prayed for about your hearing and your speaking? And what he is he's talking to me and he wants to ask me questions. And so I didn't recognize him as the one who was deaf and mute. And now he's talking to me, and I'm thinking, and it's like, it didn't even hit me. It's like, my God, the deaf hear, the mute speak, and God used me. I'll tell you, I get a little bit more excited. And so then the next night, I'm up on the platform. You have to wait for the platform before we get to minister to people. Well, behind the platform is a tent where they bring the demon possessed. I mean, they're tied to sticks like cattle. Okay, they're so demon-possessed. Because you see, what they do is they go see a witch doctor. Okay, because they want their baby to be okay. And you know, they don't want no problems. And so they seek out as much spiritual help as they can. So they'll go visit witch doctors and all kinds of things. And then when they realize all of a sudden they've opened up the door and they're completely demon-possessed, I mean, they bring them, family members bring them tied up. And so behind the platform is a tent for all the demon-possessed. Well, we sneak off the platform and we go to the back tent and we're just casting out demons like you wouldn't believe all through the service. But then, so after the second night, I'm sitting there and we're going to be released. I come down off these stairs to go down there and there's two guys, the boy from last night and another boy who wants to join us. I know my own prayer team. All that to say, you know, you think it's not you? This is you. The things that I do, you shall do, and greater. This is you. He's talking about you. Yeah. And he's talking about right where you are right now. Yeah. What, you got to get holier? You got to read the scriptures some more? You got to give some more money? You got to attend some church some more? This is resident in you. This is what I want to get across to you. Christ is resident in you. He moved in. And he took his place. Yes. How significant is that little raising of the hand? It's huge. It's huge. You couple that with no one comes to God except the ones I called, and you're here. You ever think about just the divine calling He put on you to bring you into the family? What, to cast you aside and leave you on the side of the road? To use you powerfully. Oh, Shabaka, Siyarabata, Siyarabaka, Shandabaka, Siyarabata, Siyarabokosha.
Yes.
And you do. And without repentance. I mean, you use it. It's with, He doesn't regret that He's called you into the kingdom.
Come on, man.
You mean just like, just go do it? Yep. You mean like just like say, can I pray for you? Exceedingly above and beyond all you could ask or think. Does Pastor talk? I love when he calls up for the offering. I love when he starts talking about the offering. I get excited about what my money is about to do. I get excited. I can't wait till he tells me one more scripture about what my money's going to do. I get so excited about, and I'll use the word rich, that I am going to be rich to fund the kingdom. Because see, all the time he's talking about money, I'm coupling the scripture. He's given me the ability to gain great wealth that I may establish the covenant. It's all about being full-time in the ministry and setting people free and going on mission trips and being able to help families. I mean, me and my wife, we like to go and buy, fill somebody's cabinets full of groceries. We just love to do that when they're just asking for a dollar. And you see their family in the car and they need more than just a dollar. When we went to go to Bible college, we packed up our car, we drove, we got as far as the top of the state, and my alternator went out on my station wagon, and it was freezing. We broke down. I mean, the car was, if the alternator wasn't working, it wasn't generating electricity, and as soon as I turned the lights on, it was getting dark. As soon as I turned the lights on, the car would die, so I had to drive at night without the lights in order to get off the interstate, in order to get to a place. Okay, and we stopped at a 7-Eleven. I can't figure it out. A guy gave me a jump, got it running again, but as soon as I turned the lights on, I realized there's a problem. It's around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I drive with my lights on so it wouldn't run. So I pull over the side of the road, and he said, well, he says, I can't help you any more than this, but here's $50. Here's $50 to get a hotel for the night because I had all the kids in the car. Here's $50 for a hotel for tonight because it was Sunday. I think it was Sunday afternoon. It was New Year's Eve, and I think it was a Sunday. And he says, you're not going anywhere tonight. He said, there's a gas station across the street. I went across to the gas station, got it cranked up, got it jumped, turned my lights off, drove across the street. Guess what? They only had one alternator. Guess what? It was the alternator for my car. He says, but I'm closing down. So he says, you're welcome to use my tools because I'm just in my car with my family. He says, but, you know, until I close down, I grabbed his tools off of his. I got all done. I said, you want to test this? He says, that's the quickest I've ever seen an alternator put in. I said, well, I got my kids in the car, and they're drinking hot chocolate, and they're all cold, so I'm going to get this, and I put it together, and off we went again. God is good. Participation. Really, it's about stepping out. You remember the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark there, where what's his name, and he has to go across this big gulf, and he has to step out. He has to stay. Have you seen that? And there's nothing there. There is nothing there. But, of course, as soon as he steps out and his foot comes down, it hits an invisible walkway, and then all of a sudden the walkway is exposed. That is so real. That is so real. You step out and he meets you with all his power. This is what I want to get across now. The Almighty Living God lives in you. I don't care how old. I don't care how young. I don't care if you have physical problems. It isn't based on whether you feel good or don't feel good. It's based on His word and what He said. And He said, I'm going to move in and I'm going to take up residence. And through me. Now, the hard part is that. See, the raising of the hand, that's dying to self.
Yeah.
See, it's not just the raising of the hand. It's crucifying yourself to the cross, which is the hardest thing to do. Try it. You know, I got a Christmas light at my house. One Christmas light. I put it up every year. I put up this 10-foot, 12-foot cross on the front yard. I got a crown of thorns. I nail it to the top. And I put one light, big old floodlight, shining up on the cross. Everybody has to see it all night long. Go home or come over to my house. I'll take it down. You can lay down and you can drive a nail through this hand. I'll even hold a nail for you and let you drive it. Drive a nail through your feet. And if you want me to, I'll drive the other nail because you won't be able to. Wait a minute, that hurts. Yes, it does. But until the seed dies, it'll never grow. We have to die. Christ liveth in you to act a will according to his good pleasure. Well, let me tell you, he who dies lives. See, this is the economy of God. If you give, it's given back. If you die, you live. This is just a little act of dying. It's one more step. Stepping out is just one more step. And this is what I want to get across. This is a new year. We're talking about the new year. I mean, let's go into this thing powerfully. Let's go into this thinking exceedingly above, beyond all I can. I mean, this is the way God works. If you're not thinking that this is the way God works, here's what I believe: the blessings just zoom by us all the time. They're zooming by us all the time. There's opportunity and blessings. There's, you know, that person that said they were sick or not feeling good, or you can tell the look on their face. That is a blessing waiting for you. I can belabor something. I have to be careful because I can belabor something a lot. And there's so many things I want to talk about. Let's see. That's my intro. Acts 1:8. We know. I will not turn to Philippians. I will go straight to Acts 1:8. He tells them to go to Jerusalem to wait. Why? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. He just wasn't whistling Dixie here. We had a brother that got into the ministry and they went to a church that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Although it was a good church and do a great work for God, and a large church and very powerful in their teaching and, in their goodness. And I believe God's got a place for them and it's great. But he was belonging to that church and he was about to do an inner city ministry. And me and my wife, it was in our craw that he needs power. He's going to need power to live in the inner city. So we invite him over to the house and he knew what I was going to do. He told me, he says, Brother Dwayne, he says, I don't want you. And this guy was the number one man for getting pornography on the internet. His marriage failed. He got a divorce and he got saved through basketball. That's why I play basketball. And because he thought Christians were just a bunch of wimps. And now he stands about that tall and he weighs 250. Don't come in my court. He knocks me down all the time. But he got saved. He came. He found out us guys that play basketball, we play hard, but we're men and we love Jesus. Got saved and just totally God used him, called him into the ministry, and was doing an inner city ministry in West Palm Beach, and he was going to live right in the inner city. He bought a house, lived right in the middle of all the crime, and he was going to minister to young men. We told him he needed power, so we invited him over to the house. He said, I don't want you to do all this crazy stuff. He says, if you're going to show me anything, you show me in the Word. Took him. We had dinner. My wife, he's a single man, so when my wife cooked the dinner, he says, I'll come for the dinner. Came for the dinner, and then we got done talking to him, ministering to him. He said, I want that. And this huge guy knelt down at our couch. And when he knelt down, he was still this tall. I mean, he was just huge. And we prayed for him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because God wants you to receive power to be a witness. Amen. It's going to take power. 1 John 3:8. Oh, Pastor, it's 12 already, 12 o'clock. Okay, let's go fast here. Ready? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Here's what I believe. God has not really manifested in our life. It's almost like he's dormant. Okay, we received him, we have him in our heart, but he's kind of dormant. He wants to be manifested. He wants to be as large as life in the way you think, the way you act. You know, I do this thing about the four spiritual laws. You've seen it with a circle, and you're supposed to invite Jesus into your life, and there's this circle. Have you all heard this? A circle with all the different black dots. Okay, and inside the circle is a little chair, which is a throne. And on top of the throne is a little S. That's you. You sit on the throne of your life, and that's your life. And all these black dots are all disarrayed. I mean, they're everywhere. Okay? And then the next picture is a circle, and you've invited Christ into your life, and all of a sudden Christ is in there sitting on the throne, and all the dots are in perfect unison all the way around the edge of the circle, and right inside is a little S, and that's because you've invited Christ in, and he sits on the throne. Well, that's a great story. But the reality is we've invited Christ into the life. Self is still sitting on the throne. And the little cross is down here in the corner of the circle. Some of the things get in right proportion, but most of it's still disarray. That's generally what I think most Christians live. And it should be Christ sitting on the throne. He needs to have the preeminence. He needs to be the one that calls the shots. And we have to put ourselves in a position to say, okay, I'm going to hear from them and then be a doer of the word. And it's funny because, you know, that's the way we come to Christ. We realize he needs to be my Savior. He needs to be my Lord. And we come in that way, and then we quickly go back to, well, I've got the reins now. I can drive. I can do it. And he wants to have the decision-making process in everything that we do. And then one of the other biggest things I find in Christianity is everybody's under authority. Now, I'm not saying to put our pastor on a pedestal till he tells us how many kids to have or what color car to drive or which part of the city to live in. But I'm talking about when those that are in authority over you, like pastor and the elders, speak to you, your ears should be just right out straight. I'm listening because I've got to believe that those in authority. You know what? I've taught this to the kids because that was one of the things this young boy did. I talked about rebellion. Rebellion is like witchcraft. What it means is it's just like witchcraft. When you rebel against those over you that speak to you, when you rebel, it's just like saying what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position to get another opinion or to call on some other chant or some other, put it something else in process that is going to take the place of God speaking to you. Because God speaks to you through authorities. And it really is a form of witchcraft. You want to hear another voice. You don't like this one. That's why the Bible says, be careful. You'll gather to yourself what your itchy ears want to hear. That is witchcraft in its performed. And I'm not saying we need to just go, well, you know, pastor said this, so we're going to go out and buy all, we're all going to go out and buy red ties. We're all going to go out and get our hair cut like him. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, but the thing of it is, here's what it is. When you're in the flesh, okay, and Pastor spoke about this a lot here lately. Carnal mind is the flesh. When we're thinking in the flesh, when we come and we listen to him, that's all we're hearing is stuff in the flesh. And we don't like it. But if we're prayed up, if we've been in the word, I got a worship tape I put on before I come to church. When I'm into worship, I'm into praise, I'm into hearing God, I'm into praying, I'm into reading the scriptures, I'm getting myself ready. Why? Because when I come here, God's going to speak to me and he's going to use him. I put myself in a position that even a faithful brother is going to say something, encourage me with a word, and I'm going to receive it because God is in charge of my life. God is speaking to me above and beyond all I can ask or think. I put myself totally to hear from God, even in a situation that I don't like. Yes, this is so good. Lord, Lord. Ephesians 1:17-21. That the eyes of your heart, your spirit man, may be enlightened, That's that manifesting. See, the word manifested, you know, that God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil is to lighten, show, think, render apparent, and even declare. And then when he says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, is manifested light to show, think, render apparent, and declare. We need the eyes of our heart enlightened. Let me tell you, yesterday I'm painting my house and I'm home, and my wife came to me and said, you know, about our property, we have a house that's upside down and we may lose it. But she was reading an article in the paper and she says, listen to this. And it's about foreclosure and the rights that we have. And this person is saying, you know, how we're being duped by a lot of people and they don't want to answer. They lose your records. Why? Because the bank wants to keep your property. They want you to go into foreclosure. They want to take it away. They don't care about your credit. They want the property. And so they do things. They lose your records. They forget conversations. They don't do things. They write down misinformation. And there's a legal process in which you can take. And this lady said she'll explain it to me, to anybody who wants to come in for a free visit. And then she says, guess who this is? Well, I don't know if for those who remember Wayne and Carol Asbury. They used to go to church here. Okay, she's a lawyer. She's the one that wrote the article. She's a Christian, and we know them very well. And so Faith walks away. She says, I wonder. And she said, even some people get their houses back free and clear because of the law. And so Faith walks away and she says, oh, wouldn't that be neat if we got our house free and clear? Not the one we're living in, but the other one. And you know what came out of my mouth? You know what I declared? Yeah, right. That ain't going to happen to us. And I went back to painting and I went, wait a minute. Yes, that's me. Beyond, above what I could even ask, think, or imagine. That is me. I'm believing for a house free and clear. Why not? Yeah. If I don't have to pay rent for it, I can give it to Roger and Beverly to go on it, right? Why pay them a mortgage payment? I pay for the kingdom. Praise God. I could go on for hours. I got to close here, and I don't even know where to close. Praise God. Is anybody here not a Christian? How about that? That's what Annie Diamond did in prison. Anybody here not a Christian? Like, shame, shame. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the time. This is the hour. This is it. He's knocking at your door. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Let me in. I love you. I died for you. I love you just the way you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're involved in at this moment. I don't even care if you've been thinking of trying to get out of here so you can go back to doing that. I love you right where you are, and I want to be your Lord and Savior. I love you that much. I died for you. I shed my blood that you might be made whole, that you may be put in your right mind, that you may be the head and not the tail, that you may walk in liberty and freedom. I want to come in and take up residence. I want to bless you with life everlasting. I want to bless you with a good life. I want to bless you with health, prosperity. I want to bring about in your life the right person. I want to touch you in such a magnificent way that you walk with a glow and with an anointing and with a power and with a gift. I want to use you. You're part of the kingdom. You're a mighty soldier in the army of God. I've got a plan for you and a purpose. I want to release it into your life. That's the salvation message. I'm not done with you. It's not over. Sickness has to go in Jesus' name. It has to. It can't stay where I live. I tell people, they say, don't hug me, brother, I got a cold. Hey, those germs touch me, they die. I got the Holy Ghost living on the inside. This body's anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Every disease and sickness has to die in Jesus' name. It can't touch me. You can't touch this. That's the life He has for you. A life of joy and purpose. Your marriage isn't over yet. It's not. Your kids aren't that far gone that God can't touch them and bring them back into full ministry. In full ministry. Oh, Shalabakasi. He who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. See, these are the things you got to be thinking about. This is what you got to walk on. Peter walked on the word. Yes, it's me, come. He didn't walk on the fact that the water turned solid. He walked on the fact that Jesus said he could do it. He could do it. My God, He's alive and well today. He's moving. Father, is there anybody that's not received Jesus? This is your time. Raise your hand. I'll pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Come on up here. We all did it. He who called, he called openly. That's one of those things that you raise your hand, you kind of die to self a little bit. Of course, it's a big one. It's one of those big ones. Okay? But let me tell you what, that's where life begins. That's where life begins. Now, I know, because I know, and most of you all know, there's probably a lot of people in here who are walking in fear and doubt and in unbelief and unforgiveness and have anger and bitterness and all those things are going on in your life. God wants to set you free from those. Fear of failure. You've accepted Jesus Christ, you ain't failed.
Come on.
And that could be you. I know it's the time. Can we minister? Can we minister to people? I just want to minister to people. Amen. I want to minister to some people. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. In worship, I like people to sit up front. During worship, the Lord told me, it's a baby girl, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord was just showing me Amy Simple McPherson, for those who know who she is. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, what a purpose. Such a time as this, oh God. Father, that this child, oh God, would be great in the ministry, great in your workings, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what all raising this child is going to be like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it is. I have a plan and a purpose. I have a calling on this young lady's life that she'll be great in the kingdom of God and in the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. You know, we pray that way and it's almost like, well, boy, I wish that was me. It is you. See, unfortunately, because we're humans, we do things a certain way, and it seems like we set apart or we set aside certain people and not others. And we got to be careful, because what that does is in our minds, that sets me off, oh, I wish that was me, as if it isn't you, but it is you.
Yeah.
This child can't raise her hand. Well, maybe she is in there. You can. You can raise your hand. You can say, I want that. The Bible says to desire the gifts, press hard after them, go diligently seek them. Why? Because I've got them for you, each and every one of you. Okay? I don't care of your race, your color. I don't care about anything like that. I've got this for you, and I want to release it into your life.
Amen.
Trudy, if you would come up, I want to pray for you. If God can use me to open blind, open the deaf ear, okay, and the mute can speak, God can touch your cancer and remove it completely. Remove it completely above and beyond all you could ask or think. God, Father, by your holy word, oh God, with authority and power, oh God, we pray for healing over Trudy right now, that she be completely restored, and this thing has to go in Jesus' name. I tell cancer to dissipate, to fall off, to go away in Jesus' name. I call forth all the white and red blood cells to be normal in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. When I ministered to my mom about something, she was waiting for a supernatural miracle. Therefore, she couldn't believe she was healed unless she had that, which is a lie of the enemy. The Bible says that you will be made well. Some people receive an instantaneous miracle healing, and it's powerful and it's exciting. But if you go away and didn't receive one of those, you go away thinking, well, I wasn't healed. That's a lie. The scriptures stand true. That will be made whole. You will be made well. Part of it is I receive that. Most of it is, I receive that. All of it is, I receive that. Because he said it and he didn't back down from it. Amen. Anybody here has something they would want, like to be healed? I'm feeling healing. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I don't even got to know what it is. It's gone in Jesus' name. It has to go because Jesus lives inside of her. The Holy Ghost lives inside of her. This is a sanctified body, glorified, set aside, sitting at the right hand of Father in heaven with Jesus Christ, in Christ, and there's no sickness or disease in heaven. In heaven, you're healed. Father, I call for the manifestation of this thing to come forward in Jesus' name. Be thou made whole in Jesus' mighty name. That's it, sister. You just come right up. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, complete restoration, whatever it is, oh God, Father, I pray for every fiber of her being to be alive with the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is on you and in you in Jesus' mighty name. Ho, shalabakasi. Do the things you've never been able to do before. Let me tell you, you got to go play basketball. Even though when you say your knee's healed, you got to get up and go play. It's time to go play in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Sickness, be gone. Disease, whatever it is. Father, I pray for the mind of Christ. From now on, the right thinking in Jesus' name. Oh God, you are the almighty healer. Father, you died that she might live in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to your name, oh God. So that's it. That's it. It's on you. It's on you. Receive it all. And exceedingly above more than you think or ask. Oh my God. Shabaka. Father, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Oh God. Oh God. Let me tell you right now. Let me tell you right now, watch what you watch on TV. It's not your fibromyalgia, whatever it is. They always say, my fibromyalgia, whatever that thing is called. They claim it. It's mine. They say, mine. My asthma. I've had my asthma for, well, yeah, and you'll always have your asthma. Okay? It's the devil's asthma, and you don't have to have it. It's the devil's whatever. You don't have to have it. Watch what you watch on TV, okay? Because I'll tell you what, it'll feed you with sickness and disease all day long, every day. Father, right now, Father, I thank you for good tests, good results right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, I got to keep going here. Hold on. Okay, now the other thing is when you come up for prayer, I could be believing for brand new sight. I could be believing for open ears. I could be believing for total deliverance and healing, but all you're believing for is the money to pay for the medication. All I can believe for is what you're believing for. I can't supersede, otherwise it becomes witchcraft. I can't call a spell on you with a script. I can't use the scriptures and call a spell on you, okay? Because all it is becomes a legal book and witchcraft. All I can do is say, what are you believing for? And when you come up here, I'm believing you're believing for total restoration, a divine healing, to be made whole every which way. Okay, that's what I'm believing for. I'm not saying, oh, well, Lord, you know, help me, I have a swallowing problem. Help me swallow my medicine. I don't want that. I want you to be made whole. Amen? Besides heal your swallowing problem, you don't have to take medicine. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, my God, oh, Lord, let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. Oh, God says you're at the prime of your life. God says he's got such a thing for you. You just keep going. You keep proclaiming. You watch what comes out of your mouth. You watch and see that I don't perform that which I've spoken over you. That which I'll do, and I'll do quickly. And I'll do suddenly in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, right now, I pray, Father, for complete deliverance. Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, that this woman, this child of yours, oh God, would walk with authority and power. God, I put complete deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I say a renewed mind. A renewed mind in Jesus' name. The Lord says to you that you need to get a Bible and you need to stay in the Word. You need to read and read and read and read. And as truth is revealed, you walk in truth in Jesus' name. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, total. Father, I speak to these legs. I speak to this back in Jesus' name. Father, I speak to his mind, oh God. Be made right. Be made right. Be made right in Jesus' name. Supernatural, oh God. Touch this man with power and authority. Every demon and devil, I tell you to leave. Leave this couple in Jesus' name. Leave their home. Leave their vicinity. Leave in Jesus' name. By the authority and power vested in me by the blood of Jesus and the calling and the anointing that was given, I say be free and made whole in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, right now. Shalabakasa. Oh, this is huge for you. Exceedingly above. It really is a great scripture for today. Exceedingly above, beyond all you could ask or think. Is there something specific the Lord wants me to ask? Chronic headaches. Chronic? Okay. Migraines? Father, right now. Right now. Pain go in Jesus' name. No more headaches, God. No more headaches, Father. We're asking, Father, in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, give her the mind of Christ. Give her the mind of Christ, oh God. Father, I pray, Father, for every electrical connection, Father, I pray, oh God, Father, for every right blood flow, Father, everything to be opened and flow completely, oh God. No more pressure, no more pain, in Jesus' name. Father, totally healed of migraine headaches right now, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, God. Father, I thank you for it, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. When they left Israel and they were out in the desert, they kept complaining. Why did you lead us out here? Lead us out here to die, to kill us. Da, da, da. I mean, God just delivered them, gave them all the gold of Egypt, and they're complaining that God led them out there to die. And they're complaining. Okay, and so God, you know what God finally says? He says to Moses, he says, tell them I'm going to give them what they say. And every one of them is going to die in the desert from 20 years up. God will give you what you say. That's why it says, be careful. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. These are powerful scriptures. These are so powerful that the body of Christ needs to really get a hold of this. Because a lot of us are walking way below our potential and our calling because we just won't believe enough to cause change. If I change the way you think, I can change the way you live. I really can. We've got to begin to think with the mind of Christ. The blood of Jesus paid for every sickness and disease that we don't have to have it. That we can go full strong to 120 years.
That's right.
Full strong to 120. If you're 80, get busy in ministry. If you're 90, get busy in ministry. Minister to your neighborhood. Minister to that ladies' club. Minister to that men's club. Go when you go bowling. Enjoy life. But minister. Call the scriptures. Speak them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh. The Lord says you need to put on some praise and worship tapes. You need to be called those things that be not as though they were. You need to find out what the promises are. You need to begin to start believing them and walk in them and proclaim them. And when and you, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to walk around people. They're going to say something negative. And you go, whoa. That's not me. Whoa, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a big thing in God. It says, you know, we have this thing in God where we say, something's about to happen, and we go, yeah, but. That's the Bible says you can't vacillate between two opinions. The Bible says if you're vacillating between two opinions, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Do these scriptures hound you? They hound me. I get into unbelief. I start saying things out of my mouth. And it's like, well, Dwayne, you can't have two opinions. Either he's going to do it, said he would do it, has the power to do it, or he doesn't. See, it's really a big question. Is God God? Yeah, he is. You think about it. Yes, he is. This ain't just some big explosion in space and all of a sudden we're here and we crawled out of the ocean. Sorry, that ain't the case. He created everything with a purpose and with a plan. And when he speaks, things come into existence. And what he says is his word is true and forever settled. And these are huge things that you have to answer in your head. And once you get those things answered in your head, there ain't nothing he can't do, sister. There ain't nowhere you couldn't go, nothing you couldn't have for his kingdom. Shalabaka. Oh, shalabatasi. Father, right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Father, right now, bless her, O God. Bless her with everything, O God. Father, the Lord says he's going to restore to you everything the cankerworm has eaten. He's going to give back to you everything you felt or thought you lost. He's going to give to you abundantly above and beyond all you could ask or think. Father, I say release it right now. Release it. Total divine health and healing, God. The mind of Christ, Father. Father, the ability to do things she hasn't been able to do for a long time, oh God. Strengthen this mortal body. Father, the word says that the Holy Spirit who dwells in her will quicken her mortal body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, glory to God. 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 He's worthy of praise and worship. Come up here. You, Jeff. Yeah, you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, she says. Jesus loves you more than you ever will, sister. Oh, yeah. Big time. Oh. You need to come up here, too. I'm going to shoot from the hip. They say Wyatt Earp could pull his gun and shoot you within the blink of an eye. They say Muhammad Ali could reach out and slap you 3 times within the blink of an eye. I'm going to shoot from the hip here, and the Holy Ghost is a whole lot quicker than they are. Shabaka. Horodo siyalabaka. Shandabarada siyalabaka. Ho shalabarada siyalabaka si. Shalabarada si. I just see the Lord's telling me great doors are going to be opened. Shalabarada siyalabaka. Great doors of responsibility. Shalabata siyalabaka sha. You're going to need to be a man of the word. You're going to need to be a man of the word. You're going to need to have put around you people of authority. Accountability, God's going to do something great. Don't forget people of authority and people of accountability. You're going to need to account for everything that you do. You're going to need to account for everything that you do. If you will put yourself in that position, even now when there seems to be nothing, if you'll put yourself in that position now, God's going to open up great doors of opportunity, and He's going to release into you great things in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Be a man of the word. Be a man of the word. In Jesus' name. Be a woman of the word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord says that you need to really understand the marriage process and the covenant that you both have with one another. You need to understand that you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And the Bible says that you need to respect your husband. Well, glory, I was waiting on you. I was waiting.
I'm stuck to my seat. I'm coming.
You are. I knew you was. He said, don't leave until she gets up here. I said, okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes, because He told me this earlier, and now as you're releasing it, it's always darkest before the dawn. Get a hold of this. It is always done. It's a physical law. It's a spiritual law. When there seems to be no way, He makes a way. When there wasn't food or water in the desert, He caused the water to come from a rock. Begin to stand and believe for the greatest thing you've ever seen. God is going to move in and take over and do great and wondrous things. It's always darkest before the dawn. But God is going to release His great light. Father, I pray for revelation, understanding. Revelation, understanding. Father, You said in Your word, You reveal it to Your prophets before You do anything. You know, a prophet is someone who proclaims. A prophet is someone who prophesies. And what they do is they can only prophesy what the Lord tells them. So when you spend time, and see, it's all about relationship. When you spend time with the Lord, He reveals something to you. You need to begin to speak that thing. Why? Because He's revealed it to you. Now you need to begin to be in the process of bringing it into existence by standing and believing and prophesying, which is speaking it forth. That's the whole idea of speaking something forth. It's not thinking of something and trying to pull something out of the sky. It's what He said, what His word says, what He proclaims. It's His promises. And when He begins to reveal them to you, walk in this and you say, this is who I am. That's what you will be. And it all brings us back to the Word of God. Let me tell you, it's the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. What He said in His Word, He'll do. And it's for you. Amen. You get all that? Mm-hmm. Father, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I pray the Word just become alive to her where she can't put it down. She just can't put it down. She takes it wherever she goes. She reads it when she can. She steals away to read it. She meditates on it. She puts scriptures in front of her. The promises are yes and amen. To this woman in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, right now. Right now, God. Father, I'm just brave enough to believe for a creative miracle. Yeah. Shobaka siyarabaka sandabarada siyarabaka. Ho shalabarada siyarabaka shalabata si. Ho shalabaka sandabata siyarabaka. Thank you, Lord God. Shalaboko siyarabarada siyarabakosha. Shalabata siyarabaka sandabarada siyarabaka. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Power and anointing. Power and anointing. Power and anointing. Glory to God. Faith's aunt had cancer, and they gave her radiation, and when they did, it burned away the epiglottis. And she was spitting up blood, and she called Faith over. Faith went to visit her and showed her, said, this is what I'm spitting up. It was her epiglottis. She kept it in a bowl. And this is when she was here, and she was taking her to the VA hospital. And then she moved to Washington State. And when she was out in Washington State, she found a good church. She was going to church out there, and they were giving communion. And every time they give communion, she would take communion. But they had to put a tube in her because without the epiglottis, you can't swallow because it'll go into the lungs. And that's why you have that. So what you take in your mouth doesn't go into your lungs. So she was fed through a tube. But every time they gave communion, she would drink the wine and eat the bread. And so she went back to the doctor, and it's a recorded miracle that her epiglottis grew back. So God can do creative things. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for these people. Father, I say bless them. Lord, change the way we think. We give you permission. God, make the scriptures come alive once again to our lives, O God. Touch these young people, O God, that they can begin to believe exceedingly above, Lord, all they could ask or think or imagine, O God. Touch them, O God, to get excited with the things of God, that you have a purpose and a plan for their life. Father, from the young to the old, don't let any of us get by, O God. Wake us up. Wake us up today, God. Wake us up to the possibilities. Wake us up to the word that's forever settled. Wake us up to the things you've spoken to us. Father, cause us to get back on our knees, Father, and to begin to believe and proclaim those things you told us would take place, O God. Restore families. Heal marriages, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.